Good evening. It's 7 p.m. on Monday night. That means it's game time for the Marriage Playbook with your host, Eric.
And Fred, it's a show that tackles the issues that rival the model and day marriage.
Together, we're going to take the field with a game plan that will give teen marriage the win. So let's get ready for the kickoff on the Marriage Playbook.
Game 6, and this is Coach Fran.
This is Coach Eric.
All right, so we're excited. We'd like to thank you guys for coming in and listening and tuning in. Listen, we are in the city of brotherly love. Yes, we are in Philadelphia. When we did our previous show, we were in New York. So we just thank God that we're back home. We're back home safe. We had a wonderful time. And we are excited again on another Monday evening. We'd like to thank all of our listening family, listeners, you guys who are out there. Listen, we want you to call in on this hot, hot topic today. Listen, you need to dial 646-668-8485. All callers, 646-668-8485. Also, don't forget you can go on to any your computer or any mobile device at www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media. Also, your questions or your comments, email us at themarriageplaybook@gmail.com, and we will say your comment or question on the air. We do appreciate you for tuning in on tonight. The Marriage Playbook, Season 5, Game 6. Come on, Coach Eric.
All right, Marriage Playbook, Season 5, Game 6.
Yes.
Out of the frying pan and into the fire. All right, what we're discussing today on the Marriage Playbook is relationships when they go critical, when they get bad. You can make a bad situation worse as a knee-jerk reaction to your emotional injury. So what do we do when life moves us around? We have to stay stable in Christ. So we're going to talk about being out of the frying pan and into the fire and not emotionally reacting to everything that happens in our lives.
That's right. That's right. Listen, I had to learn as we begin to mature and to develop. If we react so quickly, how many times have we done that? I can raise both hands. And everything got really bad. And that's from quitting your job too soon, you know.
Right.
And before you had another job, but because you got mad at your boss, you like something they said or a coworker said or something happened. Now you quit your job, now you don't have a job. You reacted to something too fast and with the emotion, and now you got to try to figure out what to do next to make things better. So we're going to talk about that. We're talking about marriage and we're talking about relationships, but that was just an example of life situations and circumstances that things are going to happen, but we have to know how to deal with them when they do. So listen, 646-66 callers, 646-668-8485. We want to hear from you on tonight. Email us your questions or comments, themarriageplaybook@gmail.com. Listen, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to be right back after that.
Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout. So we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
South is a user experience design and development shop located in Philadelphia. We have over 12 years of experience in the visual communication field with a long list of satisfied customers. We provide innovative solutions for existing and emerging platforms. Got a plan? Let our team of talented professionals help bring it to life. You can reach us at 215-701-3934. You can visit our website, www.57south.com. We look forward to kickstarting your next project. Thank you. Have a great day.
It shouldn't be as hard to find a graphic designer with great customer skills, over 20 years of experience at an affordable price. Accent on Design by Luz offers you personable service with great attention to detail. Find me on Facebook at Accent on Design by Luz. Email aodbyluz@gmail.com or call 267 267- 753-5936. If you can imagine it, I can help you create it.
The Harrison Wedding Consultants have been servicing the Delaware Valley for over 20 years with the finest chefs, great venues, and pastries. The Harrison Wedding Consultants are prepared to service your every event. Contact us at 267-884-9472 or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. The Harrison Wedding Consultants, quality you can trust.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
All right. We're back. Marriage Playbook Season 5, Game 6, Out of the Frying Pan and Into the Fire. Now, our first segment we're going to deal with right now, and we talked a little bit earlier about that in our introduction, was the stability, all right, being stable in God. Now, if you hear me talk about relationships and before we get married and you're dating and everything, what I always discuss is how we have to prepare ourselves to get married, how we got to prepare ourselves naturally. We have to prepare ourselves emotionally. We have to prepare ourselves mentally for our next step in life, which is marriage. And one of the things that help us in this preparation is building our relationship with God, acquiring the peace of God, which brings about the stability that we find in God. Because anytime you add something from your life or you take something into your life, okay, now there's a transition there. Now, if you don't have a stable footing, okay, there's going to be a problem in the transition. If a plane, when a plane lands, it lands on a runway. The reason why they choose a runway for the plane to land on is because it has a smooth surface. So when you come in, and even if you come in hot, good chance of a soft landing. Okay, this happens in relationships all the time. If you got problems going into a relationship, trust me, when you get inside the relationship, those problems are going to compound, and you're going to have more of a problem than you did when you had previously gotten to it.
Yes, and I love that illustration, Coach Eric, and I think a lot of times we want to always, because we support marriages 100%, I think everyone knows that by now, but what we have to be mindful is that you always say, where's the fire? Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to try to make these decisions so quickly and so hastily, and so what I think a lot of times is because the decision was made so quick. You know, this is what messes up the transition, like you said, the transition and process. And the other thing is sometimes we don't even know who we are. We don't know how to deal maturely, even with situations. You know, do you know how to deal with the individual to say how you're feeling without it turning into a big blowout argument or someone's feelings getting hurt? Because when you love someone, you know, you're not trying to hurt them, but you have to be open to hear everything that the individual is saying. You can't go in and let it just be about you, you mm-hmm. know? It has to be both of you guys coming together or being able to come together to meet in the middle ground so you know, okay, we're coming together and this is how we're going to run things. Men, mm-hmm. praise God, you know, and women, praise God. Women, let the man run the household. You know, I'm not saying that you don't have a say and you don't play a significant part, but we as women, we have a part to play, and that's really to help the man of God be the man of God that God is calling him to be. So for that, we may feel like it's taking a back seat, but we're not. We're actually helping him and pushing him in the direction that God is leading him to guide our families. And sometimes a lot of friction will be because both parties wants to be the boss. Mm-hmm. And it's not about being the boss. If we understand that Jesus is the boss, you know, and we both have to be subject to Christ, trust me, you won't have that friction all the time.
Yeah, one of the biggest fires that happen in marriage is that conflict, okay, when you have two people fighting for authority in the house,
right.
Okay? So you got this inordinate situation where both people are butting heads because no one wants to take that position of being, listen, not subordinate, but someone has to lead and someone has to follow.
That's
now,
right.
This is real Christian radio, right? So we're talking about biblical principles
That's
here.
Right.
Okay, so we're not talking about what the world says marriage should be. We're talking about how God set the marriage up. Now, women, I understand a lot of you, and I have to say, it's hard for me as a man for me to admit this, most women are smarter than men, and there's a reason before that, because God created the woman to help the man. Now, if he wasn't smarter than the man, you can't help him. Okay, so there's a position there for humility for a man. He has to understand that God gave him that woman to help him. So he has to allow himself to be helped. That's the other thing. You can't come and just be the boss. Now, she has an idea that's going to help you. with your vision, okay, and you're trying to be the man so much, not really understanding what manhood is. You think it's all about authority, and it's not. It's about control, okay? Now, that even controlling your own ego, amen, okay? Because most men have an ego. We need to control that, okay? So guess what? We have to humble ourselves because guess what? God might give our wife a better idea. Plus, he made her for that purpose to help you, okay? So be wise, men. Allow your wife to help you. That's the God. That's the position that God put it in to come and assist you in what you need to do. Okay, so we're going to move on. We're dealing with the stability in God. Stability. How do you find that stability? What keeps you focused and still? Okay, it's understanding the peace of God and accepting the peace of God. And then going to God to find out who you are. Because one of the biggest problems you have in a marriage is you are adding someone to your life. And I'm talking from a man's perspective. You're adding someone to your life, but you haven't found out who you are yet. Okay, so now you put your woman in position to have to figure you out while you're figuring yourself out.
Yeah.
That leads us to our one of our next shows. We're talking about how not to frustrate your spouse. Now, you want to frustrate a woman, man, coming without a vision and not give her anything to do or any way to help you.
Yeah.
So she's trying to figure out what's going on with you and what you're doing. You're trying to figure out what's going on with you and what you're doing. You see how she can get frustrated there? She doesn't know what to do because why? You're not leading. You're just sitting there. I know that from personal experience. You can get into a marital situation and not be prepared for it. This is why we have shows like that to help you and assist you in being prepared to take that next step. I know from personal experience, if you go in that thing unprepared, you're going to have a problem.
That's right. And listen, we want to have successful marriages because, again, like we said on the show last week, marriages have such a bad rap, you know, and that's not every marriage. It just looks like that. And even the marriages that have issues and situations and things going on, we're trying to let you know that there's nothing too hard for God, but you have to be willing to put in the work. It's like we want to put in the work with, you know, the cake tasting, and we want to put in the work with trying on the gown, and
right.
We want to put in the work putting on the shoes and having the engagement party and having the bridal shower. We put in all that work,
right.
But then when we get into the marriage, we think it's just supposed to coast on by, That's just not how it works. You know, you're still developing. You're still growing with one another. And I love something that Coach Eric said because I want to go to the playbook right quick.
All right.
Which is our Holy Bible.
What's the word say?
And the Bible was telling us specifically in 1 Peter 5 and 10, King James Version, but the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. Let me just say this. We don't never want to suffer in anything. You know, if something is going wrong, something is going bad, or we just ready to quit and just give up. You know, if something ain't going our way, somebody hurt our feelings, you know, if this ain't acting right and someone didn't acknowledge me and you didn't look at me right and how you – listen, I mean, and these are things we go through in life, period. But we don't want to suffer through anything. You know, we don't want to suffer. And it says suffer a while. And then what is it going to do? By your suffering, by going through, by enduring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to make you perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to establish you.
That's right.
It's going to strengthen you, and it's going to settle you.
Wow.
You know? And that's why sometimes things seem like it's all over the place because we're so busy looking at the suffering, but we don't realize. We say it all the time, you know? We talk about, you know, and all things work together for good of them who love God.
That's
and
right.
Who are called according to his purpose.
All the time.
And we say that, oh, we know nothing is by coincidence nor by chance, but this God that we serve strategically
mm-hmm.
has set up our lives. So when we go through things,
right.
Praise God, we understand that God has a purpose. And so we get all into what's going on. We break down in that. But then we forget that it's a purpose behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And if we just hold on, if we hold on not only to God and his word and his promises, I'm telling you, man, it's going to work out and you'll see that it's going to be better in the end. But to me, it seems like we quit and we give up. We give up too easily.
Too easy.
You know? But we fought so hard to be with that person.
Oh, you did.
But now that we're with them, now yeah. We don't want to fight to stay in
no
the
more.
Marriage. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I love what the marriage playbook says, the Holy Bible says in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. I want to finish that last part. It says it makes you perfect, establishes you, strengthens you, and settles you. Made perfect, established, strengthened, and settle you. See, these things are important because life is going to move you around like a storm. Like if you're a plant, life is going to move you like a storm. Okay, you see those trees down in the Bahamas, how when the wind blows? Now, if life is a storm, married life is a hurricane, a tornado. Why? Because you're mixing two minds. People are coming together. There's adjustment there. All that stuff will move you. And you're going to need something to establish you, to keep you grounded, keep you rooted, give you some type of foundation so you can build. Because you can't build anything without foundation. You try to make a home, you can't build a house. There's no house ever made without a foundation that didn't stand. Got to have a foundation. So your foundation has to be Christ, all right, in order for you to be stable and settled, particularly when you're bringing in someone else into your life and starting a family. You got to be settled first.
Right.
Okay? That's the thing. You shouldn't be settling the bill to pay for your wedding and for your reception. You better settle your life so that when you bring that wife into your home or woman, when you go into that man's home, into his life, and he brings you in and makes you family, y'all become one. Both of you individually, before y'all collectively come together, have to be settled. Because if there's any unsettlement there, it's going to come out and it's going to be magnified because you're not going through it by yourself. If you tear a room up and you're in the room by yourself, you can only help hurt yourself. But if you tear a room up and there's somebody else in the room with you, they can get hurt too. You understand? So this is what happens when you get into a marital situation. What you bring in and bring to the table is going to come out in the spread.
That's right.
It's going to come out in the spread.
That's right.
And you hope it's not oil and vinegar. You want some things that go together. Okay? So that's why we need God in all the decisions that we make. Why? Because God is going to bring the individual in your life. I said, God is going to bring the individual in your life that's going to mesh with you, that's going to fit you. Because when you try to do it based on what your preferences is, you're going to end up with somebody 9 times out of 10 is going to be a problem. Now, God bless you if your relationship work and y'all did it on your own and it came together. I tell you what, I tell you now, interject God. And interject God quickly.
That's right. And I'm telling you, Coach Eric, you said that. And the thing I love about marriages and I love about when God brings people together, you know, we want you to understand even when God does it, it's still going to take work. You know, you're still going to have challenges. But the great thing about it is, but because you are established in Christ, you both will know that you need to go to the Word of God together. You know you need to pray together. You know you need to fast together. You're going to know that, okay, because God won't be pleased, and God is going to be speaking and dealing with both of you individually as well collectively. So I don't know about anyone else, but I've shared my testimony before, is that I don't want God to be displeased with me by how I treat who God has blessed me with. You know, we say they're a blessing, but how are we treating the blessing that God has given us?
Mm-hmm.
We talk about the cars and the jewelry and the clothes and all of that. But if God has given you a spouse and you know God has done this thing and God is blessing the marriage, you know it's a gift from God. How are you treating the gift that God has given you in your marriage?
That's it. Okay, now one of the big keys here is communication. That's a big key. Got to be able to talk. Got to be able to confront a situation, particularly when you see one evolving. Got to be able to confront that.
That's true. Yep.
Okay. I mean, look what Jesus did. Jesus was on the boat and the weather was tempestuous. You know, the wind was blowing, the ocean was rising. It looked pretty bad. And Jesus spoke that thing. He said, "Peace, be still." Okay. We need to learn how to do that even in our marriage.
That's right.
When you see stuff going crazy, you know, you start talking to God. Before you start talking to your spouse and arguing, you start talking to God. I tell you what, I promise you, if both of you talk to God, you're going to be able to talk to each other.
Right. That's right.
Y'all going to be able to talk to each other.
That's right.
Okay. How can two walk together except they be agreed? You know, you'll say the same thing as she'll say. Matter of fact, the Spirit then got to me a couple of times. I had to go to my wife and apologize for my behavior because I got upset or I got impatient or I was too stubborn about a thing and God had to deal with me. But my wife gave me room for that. She didn't keep bickering with me, you know, in the argument. She gave me room to get away. You know what I mean? So God can deal with me. And, man, you have to do the same thing. Because you're going to get in a knockdown arguing with your wife, okay? Sometimes you don't even know what you're arguing about. You're just arguing.
Right.
Sometimes
you might be frustrated.
And then you got to govern your marriage. This is both male and female.
That's right.
You got to govern your relationship according to knowledge. See, there's things I know about my wife that I know when it's – I said, look, sweetheart, I think it's time for you to lay down because when she gets tired, you know, when she starts getting sleepy around a certain time – he's turning into a pumpkin on me. I'd be like, what's going on? Oh, you need to lay down. That's what you need to do. So you need to know these things, okay? And one of the things we learn in marriage, and we learn this thing organically. We know automatically how to get on each other's nerves. We can't help it. It's just who we are, and it's little pet peeves that we have about the way we do things. You know what I mean? Get on my wife's nerves. Get on your husband's nerves. These things happen. So we got to be able to communicate with that, and then you got to learn how to laugh at a few things too, and stop taking yourself so seriously.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, you can't take it serious. I listen. I can put up all my fingers to that. But listen, we're gonna go to commercial timeout. We need you guys to call in 646-668-8485.
Oh.
646-668-8485. Again, this is the Marriage Playbook, Real Life Christian Radio. Listen, the Marriage Playbook, Season 5, Game 6, Out of the Frying Pan into the Fire. Look, we'll be right back after this commercial break.
Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout. So we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
This is Dr. Joanne Dixon, pastor of the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church at 2234 North Front Street here in Philadelphia. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. for Sunday school and at 11 a.m. for morning worship. Prayer and Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can follow us on Facebook or dial 267-314-5220. We are a loving church and a learning church, which make us a growing church. God bless you.
Greetings, everyone. This is Erica Burnett, CEO and creative designer of A Single Suggestion, a business that specializes in handcrafted stationery. Visit our website at www.asinglesuggestion.com to see what we have to offer. Our email address is info@asinglesuggestion.com. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Pay us a visit to compliment your success at the hand of creative design.
Magnify His name with Elder Charnell P. Blaine and Divine Purpose. For all ministry engagements, contact us at area code 267-240-0709 or email us at dpministry01@aol.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we're never too tired to give God an unconditional praise. Magnify His name.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious. We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
Here we go. Now, our second segment is called Trouble in Paradise. Trouble in Paradise. Oftentimes, you know, and far too often, even in Christian marriages, you find there'll be trouble in your paradise. Your house becomes divided. Okay, I don't know the reason why it happens, but somehow we find a reason for us to be in trouble in our little paradise. You know, there's a lack of peace in the home, okay, and there's a reason for that, okay. I always say this, and I make the statement every show, and it's a part of what I say, because marriage is a God thing. Being that marriage is a God thing, everything that's anti-God or anti-Christ is going to come against your marriage. It's going to fight against your marriage, because your marriage represents the church. It represents God. Okay, God established it. He ordains it. So anything that looks like God, the enemy can't stand to even see it. So guess what? We got to fight. Once we get together, we got to fight to stay together, okay? And we got to understand the purpose of marriage, which is to glorify God. So of this being saying, when there's trouble in your paradise, we have to get to that place in God where there is peace, okay? All right, peace is a place and also a state of mind. As a married couple, male and female, we must fight to find a place where we can live together. The key word here is live. All right, because it's Christ that what brings us life.
Right.
And when we try to live without Christ in our life, we take the life out of our living, because Christ is the life giver. And even further than that, even if you're having trouble in your marriage and there's a need for reconciliation, you're going to need Christ for that. Why? Because he's also a resurrection. Okay, he can resurrect your relationship, but you got to meet him right there at the cross. This is where the problem lies. When there's an issue, we compound the issue by doing things to make things worse, because what? We go railing for railing, because why? You upset me, you injured me, I'm going to injure you back. So not only do we get vengeful towards each other, then we start doing things that compound our problem. That means makes our problem worse than it was when it first started, which brings me to the title of this whole show, Out of the Frying Pan into the Fire. You got to be careful when you let things go too far in your arguments, because you end up doing things that make the situation much, much worse.
Right.
What are we talking about? Coach Fran used an example before. I'm going to use the worst case scenario. When your wife or your husband does something that upsets you or injures you, you don't find solace running into the hands of another person. Going from one person to another person, confiding in an individual about what's going on wrong in your marital relationship. You can't transfer your intimacy onto someone else because you're upset. And this is one of the first things that happened as a knee-jerk reaction. We want to go talk to somebody about what's going on. You got to be careful of the motive of the people that you are talking to when you're having a problem or issue in your marriage. Are they a promoter of marriages? Are they a promoter of your marriage? You have to know these things. You can't confide in everyone, and you definitely can't run to the arms of someone else to find comfort. If you want comfort, run to the hands of Jesus and get comfort from him.
I'm the comforter. That's right. That's right. And Coach Eric, it often happens. And now what happens, now your business is out there, you know, and this is why the Bible let us know that if we're going to get counsel, we need to get godly counsel. We need to go to those who are mature and that's going to keep what's going on. And they're going to give you godly instructions on what to do to bring things together, you know. And guess what? To bring it together is going to take some work. After you get the instructions, especially from your leader, because I find a lot of people fail because they go to their leader, they go to counsel, they do all of that, but then they go home and do nothing that they was counseled on. Because you don't feel like it. And then sometimes we got to remember, it's not about my duty to Eric has nothing to do with whether he do what he needs to do for me. You know, God has called me to be the wife that I'm supposed to be. And if he does something to me, it does not give me the right whether I feel like he appreciated or not, or whether he's showing me enough love or not, whether I am supposed to still do the duty that God called me to do as his wife. Because then God will deal with him if he's not doing what he's supposed to do. But God is also going to deal with me when I don't do what I'm supposed to do. You know, so that's the thing, too. Oh, well, he ain't doing it. Or I've been doing this. He ain't acknowledging. I'm not doing it no more. That's not how that works. Not if you're believing and praying and you're asking God to break and destroy those yokes and that yoke of bondage in the marriage that's got you guys feuding and going through this. Listen, do me and Coach Eric get into arguments? Yes, we do. But we realize that we have to answer to God how we treat each other, you know? And I don't want to have to deal with God, and God is tapping me on the shoulder. You know how you be up all night long because you disobeyed that thing God told you not to do? Or you said something sharp or harshly, and God is, you know, Spirit of God now is correcting you and tapping you on your shoulder and keeping you up all night? Come on now. that's not a good feeling. You know, it's not a good feeling.
Yeah, and it's not about winning the argument. It's about winning the peace.
That's right.
Okay, well, I'm going to sit there and argue with you all night long. You know, what about the peace? The more you argue, the further the peace goes away.
That's right.
Okay, so what you want to do is you want to win the peace. One of the big things, I see she got the playbook out.
Yes,
I'm going to get to
that.
Yes, I do. One of the things with men and with women is different. With women, okay, men, don't attack a woman's value. All right, don't devalue that woman because, you know, don't put her in a position to want to find value from another man. Okay, not saying that she should do that. I'm saying don't put it in that position.
But vice versa.
And vice versa. Man, woman, don't put a man in a position dealing with his manhood.
That's right.
Okay,
that's right.
Make him have to validate his manhood with someone else. And that's not giving him carte blanche to do that. I'm saying don't mess with his manhood like that.
Right.
Right, because that's your man.
Right.
Okay, and guess what? Here's the thing. Most men, and I hate to say this, this is true, are not really sure of their manhood. It has to be validated all the time. Okay, now if you're not sure of your manhood, and I'm not saying, you know, whether you're switching teams or not, I'm just saying you're not sure what it is to be a man, and some men have a problem in that area because they just haven't been taught or don't
That's
know.
Right. That's right.
Okay, they have a lack of knowledge in that area.
That's right.
Okay, and they got to, and they need to go to God to find out what a man really is. Okay, so he might need some help in that area. See, sometimes when you look at certain situations, you don't, sometimes you feel like you don't have to help a man or help a woman in a specific area. Okay, but if it's your job to help them in every area you can. And, man, you know, you do have to lead, so learn how to do that.
That's right. That's right. Look, I wanted to go to the marriage playbook again, the playbook again, because Coach Eric was talking about division. He was talking about being divided and all of that with each other. And Matthew, the 12th chapter, the 25th verse, and it says, "But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand."
Mm.
See, we got to understand that the scriptures are there to help navigate us through the things in life that we are going through as Christians.
Right.
And we are left without in this. We can't blame what's going on in our lives to our pastors. We can't blame our pastors. We can't stop blaming people in the church. We can't blame this one who did us wrong and all. Listen, it is our own individual responsibility
mm-hmm.
to be who God is calling us to be and to be who we are supposed to be for our families.
Right.
You know, for our loved ones, for our children. You know, there's no way in the world, if we're supposed to be new creatures in Christ, that we're supposed to still be having a worldly mentality when it comes to marriages,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to raising our children, when it comes to doing the things that we're supposed to be doing of the kingdom. If you don't know those things, let me tell you something. Pick up the playbook and start reading. You know, pick up and read Proverbs. Proverbs begin to tell you how to, and you begin to get wisdom in Proverbs, start instructing you what you should and shouldn't do. It even instructs you how people are and what to do and all that, make you very knowledgeable. So then you can be equipped, because God is not looking at us and what people do to us. We get so caught up in that, and yes, he's concerned, you know what, nobody messing with his children. But guess what? He's also looking at your reaction. How do you treat people when they do things to you?
Right.
Because he still tells us we got to love them,
that
despitefully use us and curse us and backstab mm-hmm. us and set us up and talk about us and all that kind of stuff, you know? And then we got to pray for them. We have to have enough knowledge and wisdom to understand that we don't want the wrath of God on them either, because we wish the desires that they be saved.
Right.
You know, so it's about how we deal with stuff. And again, back to spouses. He's a son of the kingdom. He's a son of God. I mean, he's a child of God. How did that look for me to mistreat him? I think sometimes when we don't look at it in the right perspective, that person is a child of God too. You know, we feel like we could just treat them any kind of way. We can do whatever we want to do. We can say whatever we want to say. And that's not true. We're going to be held accountable even for our spouses being the souls that are attached to us.
Right.
We don't realize that.
Right. Now, see, the enemy desires to attack marriage and the foundation of the family, okay, is extremely important. Okay, that we always watch the doors, watch the front doors, watch the back doors.
That's right.
Keep it together. You know what I mean? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Have Christ as the center.
That's right.
Christ as the center. If both people are looking towards Christ, they can find the solution there. Okay, but if I look on your fault and you look on my fault, we can be talking all day about it.
That's right.
You know, learn how to forgive one another. And then when you forgive a person, learn how to let it go. All right? Don't hold it over an individual's head that they did something wrong. Forgive them and continue to move on with it. Okay? We need to know how to forgive, not only when we're right, but when we're wrong. Sometimes we forgive and we didn't do anything. Sometimes you take the high road and just forgive anyway.
That's right.
Why? Because what's the mandate here? It's peace.
You want
peace in your home. You don't want to compound your problem. You want to throw fuel on a fire, and then you end up burning the living room, burning the whole house down, you know, because you're adding on. Let some escalate, which you're supposed to have squashed long ago when it was small in its infancy. You let it grow and get bigger.
That's right.
Okay, that's why you really have to open up and have conversation and discuss those things that you find a problem. When you find your wife or find your husband in error in a certain way, or he or she did something that really hurt your feelings or did something, if you offended me, you know what I mean? Just like you do in the word with anybody else, you got to go to your husband and your wife and say, listen, that what you said and what you did, that offended me.
Right.
Okay, and then you have to be open minded because you really don't want to offend your spouse. That's like offending yourself. Okay, and you have to look at it that way. Okay, so when these situations come up, y'all need to talk it out, you know, because you don't want it to get bigger. Because it can escalate and get completely out of control. And one of the biggest ways it gets out of control and when it goes from being in your house to being on the outside of your house.
That's right, being in the church.
Being in your
it's
from your house
business, man.
To the street.
That's right.
From your house to social media.
That's right. Oh,
and
my
then
God.
Then it went world. You took your problem worldwide. You TMZ'd yourself and put your whole self out there. Because of the little problem you have in injury, we got to hear about your personal, intimate problem that you're having with your spouse. That's not fair to both families who have to now choose a side because y'all have a problem.
Right.
You know, the family that got together at your reception and at your wedding and broke bread with y'all together and made one big family, now you forced them to choose sides because y'all want to separate and now divorce. Now you put kids in the middle, you want to split all that up. And mess up their psyche. Now they see their mother's not with their father. Now there's a separation. Now there's a divorce. Now there's another man coming into the house, another woman coming in the house. They're going like, what's going on? Who's this? What's going on here? You know, it directly affects everybody who is connected to you. This is why it's important to squash out a problem when it's in its infancy, when it's small. Okay? And address and confront everything.
I want to read this comment from Deborah from Philadelphia, and it says, it is only through our salvation that we have survived 32 years of marriage. Our marriage survived many trials and tribulations through the grace and mercies of God. He brought our spirits together through prayer about our, they were in their youth. Is what she's saying. Many of young people are disillusioned about marriage when they see infidelity from the pulpit. That was something that she sent in on last week, and I let her know that I was going to read that. And I think also, too, when to tie that in, when it comes to marriages, if something is going on in church, you definitely want to talk about it to your spouse. We've heard all kinds of things. And God forbid that anyone has went through that. But if you have, know that we're praying for you. Know that we love you. But what we're saying is, I don't care what's going on. You two are the ones who are responsible for the marriage. And then you two have to come together, go to God, and let God make a decision on how to deal with what you're going through. Do not, I repeat, do not have it all over the place, you know? Mm-hmm. Don't have it all over the place. I'm telling you, children are getting hurt. We try to figure out why our children are crazy and out in the street and doing all kinds of stuff. And then we say, oh, yeah, well, they ain't listening to me. Well, they're watching us as examples. Young people are watching us. Our children are watching us how we deal with each other. So if we're not dealing with the women, if you're not dealing with your spouse, right, now the son sees that, and then he probably think he has to be vulnerable and find a woman that's going to just run him down, you know. And if it's vice versa, then you got young men thinking that they have to be dominated and beaten on women and all. You know, come on. We really have to become the Christian people that God is called and children that God is calling us to be, because it really starts with us. all the things that's going on, how come if we have an all-powerful, all-knowing God, how come we don't have more of our situations and things under control? You know, and we should.
Yeah, it's sad to say, but, you know, it seems that as Christians shouldn't be getting divorces, but we do. Okay, Christians shouldn't be separating, but we do. Christians shouldn't be committing fornication, adultery, and infidelity, but we do. Okay, so now, here we go. All right, now, usually most of these problems are an indication that that problem was there all along.
Exactly.
And that's okay. Okay, but at some point in your life as a Christian, you have to go to God and judge yourself by the mirror of God's word. So if your spouse cheated on you, okay, it's hurtful. Okay, even with that, should be forgiveness there. If there's no reconciliation, it still should be forgiveness there. And now, how do we move on?
Right.
This is interesting. Okay, I've seen this, you know what I mean? I've experienced some of it. You know, how do you move on when you separate and divorce from your wife? As a Christian, what do you do now? Okay, well, I put it quite simple, you know, and it's not simple, but I'll put it simple. Okay, you stay a Christian. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, if you were taught properly, before you got married, you wasn't a fornicator. Okay, so now that you've had an intimate relationship with a woman that was your wife and she is no longer your wife, that does not give you carte blanche to go out here and be a fornicator now. Okay? You have to go back to the original state you were, hopefully before you got married, which was celibacy.
That's right.
Back to celibacy. And it'd be good if you just never get married again. But if God sends you another wife, okay, remember what happened in the first time and try to do it right this time. Understand where, and I say this all the time, understand where you went wrong. Don't get into your spouse. Understand where you went wrong, because your spouse could have been wrong up and down, left and right. But guess what? You did something wrong. You did something wrong, too. And your wrong thing might have been the decision you made. You made a bad decision. Okay, but you did something wrong. Okay, so deal with the wrong that you did, even if it was making a poor decision. Okay, uh-huh. Maybe you married your spouse out of turn. Maybe it wasn't time to marry your spouse. Maybe that wasn't the one for you. Did somebody tell you not to do it? Did somebody tell you to wait? Okay, look, and sometimes it's nobody's fault. Life just happens. Remember I said life is like a storm. It just happens to us and it moves us. It should not move us outside of the will of God, particularly because your spouse did something outside of the will of God. It should not move you outside of the will of God. So this is what we're talking about, being stable. Because how you go out of the frying pan into the fire is that now that your husband and your wife committed adultery, now you figure that I go out here and be a whore or a whoremonger now because, you know, that happened to me. So now I don't trust men no more, you know, and I don't need no man, but you still want to have sex. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, now you got to stay inside of the will of God even though something happened to you. You know, God is not going to understand you getting mad at him when he didn't do anything wrong to you. You got that? God didn't do anything wrong to you. Your spouse did. Okay, now the way you get back at your spouse is by doing something bad towards God. Because anytime you sin against him through fornication, you not only commit sin against him, but against your own body. So guess what? Just because you're angry don't give you the right to go out here and be a fornicator, or the right to go out here and hurt people because you got hurt.
And the other thing is, don't let the enemy trick you. You know, that's the thing. I think the enemy tricks us so easily. You know, and we forget all about God. We forget that God is the problem solver. God is the comforter, that God is going to be the one that mend those things that's broken, you know. And that's the thing I think. I think we let the enemy come in and deceive us when he tells us not to be deceived,
mm-hmm.
You know. The Bible's constantly telling us to be aware that the enemy shouldn't be able to do things to us just so easily and so casually. You know, and so I like that word again, stabilize. Stabilize is to make or become unlikely to give way or overturn.
Mm.
Make or become unlikely to change or fail.
Mm-hmm.
God is not setting us up to fail.
Right.
You know, and like Coach Eric said, if something happened and you make the mistake or something goes on, listen, first of all, after you repent and turn from that thing, you know that does not please God.
Right.
Now you got to forgive yourself. not only the other person if they did something or if you did done something wrong. Listen, you got to forgive yourself and then you got to move on.
That's it.
You know, and I tell people all the time, listen, the number one thing I tell people all the time, you need to pray, like the words say, without ceasing.
Uh-huh.
You need to learn how to turn your plate down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You need to know how to just lay on your face and go before God until your change comes.
All right now.
Sometimes we get up too quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We in posturing and we praying and we waiting until God bring it and we go through all that.
Right.
But then when God does what he's going to do, we think we can get up off that, off the floor. We think we can get out of prayer or we think we can stop reading our word. No, if anything, you're going to have to do it the more because let me tell you something. When you get into a marriage, you fighting a whole nother fight you have never fought before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. If you was laying up with somebody and sleeping with them and living with somebody, so you guys say, okay, let's get married. You're like, well, what is going on? Things change. Yes, it did.
Because
long as you stayed where you were, the devil was not going to mess with you.
Not at all.
But when you said, okay, God, we're going to do this right.
What?
I'm giving my life to you. Oh, the fight is on now.
Oh, now it's on.
The fight is on.
Yep.
So just how you fought to get and walk down that aisle, and it's a fight even with that because you're fighting all the way to the altar. You find out who your friends are, who they're not your friends, who like you, who's hating on you. You find out all that when you get ready to get married,
mm-hmm.
you know. But my thing is you're supposed to still that stick-to-itness that you had in the beginning. You have to keep that all the way to the end.
Yes, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed is undefiled. Okay, now if we switch around, if you're not married, it's not honorable, and your bed is defiled. So now when you start become honorable, God forbid, the devil like, oh, you're going to be honorable now?
Right, exactly.
Okay, so guess what? Now you're going to be under attack. Why? Because you decided you're going to be honorable.
That's right.
All right?
He doesn't like that.
And he does not
you know?
Like that.
And let me tell you something. You know, God is not upset when you switch teams, but switch teams with the devil.
And see what happens.
All right, so look, y'all, we're going to a commercial break. 646-668-8485. Yes, this is the Marriage Playbook Season 5, Game 6, Out of the Frying Pan into the Fire. Look, we're going to talk a little bit more about this before we have to get off this air.
Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout. So we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
If you are in need of life insurance, auto or home insurance, or need help in getting out of debt, call your helpful insurance agents at Prime Financial Services. Did you know if you add a child rider to your life insurance policy, you can add multiple children for the price of one, starting at $10,000 worth of coverage for under $10. Call today for a free quote at 313-293-0979. Mention you heard this ad on this show.
This is Dr. Joanne Dixon, pastor of the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church at 2234 North Front Street here in Philadelphia. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. for Sunday school and at 11 a.m. for morning worship. Prayer and Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can follow us on Facebook or dial 267-314-5220. We are a loving church and a learning church, which make us a growing church. God bless you.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic. With this, and I was thinking about when we went to commercial break, started thinking about, remember how as children we used to take the cards and stack them up and make the houses and everything? And then when you're doing it with that person, you're both strategically trying to do it. It wasn't no challenge back then. It was just sisters or brothers or family playing at it, and you're stacking it up because you're building something together.
Mm-hmm.
But then someone come along and they touch the cards and knock the whole thing down. You know, we got to watch the people that's always trying to touch things
mm-hmm.
to knock the marriage down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I think we give too much, we let too many people in that should not be in. you know. And like Coach Eric said earlier, if it's a vulnerable situation, if it's very serious, listen, you got to be very, very strategic on who you allow to know what's going on. And know that who you're going to is somebody that's going to give you a divine, godly counsel and instructions. And after that, you have to follow it. It is true men and women of God that's out here that really want to help the people of God and want you to be successful, not only in your marriage, but in your everyday Christian life. And if we don't begin opening up our hearts to people who are giving us these instructions, let me tell you something, we're going to fail every time. You know, I know we think we can do it on our own, but God does send men and women of God, and God does send people to help us and to instruct us. So never think you're too big and I got it, I can do it, I don't need nobody. That is not the case. You're going to fail every time.
Hey, listen, being a Christian, you know, immediately you're going to war against the devil. And you have to know that being a Christian. Okay, so if being a Christian is going to war against the devil when you get married, that's just somebody in your foxhole fighting with you. Okay, which means you
fighting
don't.
With
yeah,
you.
Fighting with you. No, you're not turning around and bayoneting the person that's right next to you in the foxhole that's wearing the same uniform you're wearing. Okay, when you get married, that person becomes one with you. Okay, and you got to always have that concept of oneness in your mind. Even when you're arguing and y'all at your worst, it's still one. Okay. You should be able to disagree, and I say this to my wife all the time, without being horribly disagreeable.
Right, exactly.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with arguing and clearing the air, okay, but that means at some point you come to a solution. If you can't come to a solution, learn to table it and say, okay, we're going to table this discussion. We're going to get back with it, but we're going
to
take a break right now. You know what I mean?
That's right. No
because
one
we can't,
to stop.
There's no resolution right now,
that's
so that's
right.
Let's
right.
come. We're going to come back to it.
That's right.
Okay.
That's
and then
right.
when y'all come back, be ready to go at it again. Okay. Until you guys find a solution
right.
to your problem.
That's right. And
what we're trying to get you to do is to navigate coming from the frying pan from a hot situation and going into a harder situation due to your anger or your emotional injury.
That's right. Or even your hurt.
Right.
You know, because sometimes we get hurt and we might not want to even get back with the person, but we'll hold that hurt inside our hearts, and then that begin to change us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now we're not that loving person anymore. Now we're not that person who cares about the marriage. We're not that person that's going to, you know, fight as hard as we would fight. Now, is the hurt real? Is it genuine? Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it's not, you know, but many times, you know, Coach Eric might have said something and it hurt my feelings. I went right to God,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I didn't go, oh, God, you heard what he said to me. You know, I just had to let God know that I was hurt and I don't want to be bitter. You know, and then you got to fight the enemy because the enemy is in the other ear. Oh, yeah, well, you should have said this. No, I should not. Satan, you a liar, you know, and rebuke the devil. Talk to God and say, God will open up that time. And I always say, God, open up the time where we can talk.
That's it.
You know, if I think it's going to be something really crazy or keep things going on, God, I'll wait for you to open up the time. Sometimes we got to just learn how to be quiet,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just wait, you know, until a time comes where now you're going to be able to say how you feel, what happened, and the person is listening, you know. But when you're pointing a finger at each other, you're not hearing one another, you know. And again, like Coach Eric said, now it's getting to a hotter thing because now somebody done stayed out all night.
Right.
Come on now. Now
mm-hmm.
you was mad, so you stayed out all night.
Right.
Now that's making the situation worse because
right.
now you might not did anything, but you might just stayed in the car.
It's the perception
but
of
now
it.
The perception, now you got the other person feeling like, well, where did she go or where did he go and where was you at? Now that's now you're touching on the trust thing.
Right.
So that's what he means. Now you're making it worse and worse and worse.
Right.
Now you want to go out and stay out all night. Mm-hmm. You know, come on, come on. And like he said, that railing for railing, as saints and believers, we should not be doing that to one another.
That's right, man. Another thing too, man, this marriage thing is not for cowards.
All right.
Okay, you can't be a coward. Which brings me to my last segment, man. Cowards run. A lot of times relationships go bad because you're too cowardice to confront what the problem is. And you just rather run and give up than to stay there and fight for your marriage and fight for the love that you have for each other. And a lot of that is due to fear and anxiety. You know, you're afraid to say something to your wife because you're afraid she's going to leave you, or you're afraid to say something to your husband because you're afraid he's going to get angry and leave you, or something's going to happen. But guess what? When something needs to be addressed, you got to stand up like a man or like a woman and strap yourself up and gird yourself up and be courageous and say what you got to say. You know, confront that thing. You know, and if you run from fear, you're going to keep running. You're going to always run with all this anxiety of what may happen, what's going to happen. You know, learn to love one another with that perfect love of Christ. And the Bible denotes that the perfect love is what casts out fear, because fear is torment. You know, you need to be made perfect in love so you don't have them fears and those anxieties that keep you from staying in that place and standing there and fighting for your marriage and fighting for love and fighting for your standard and staying there and hanging in and be a hero. You never see a hero. A hero confronts every situation. He doesn't run from the confrontation. You know, he goes to the confrontation. You know, he wants to meet the confrontation, meet the need. And you got to stand up as a man and do that. You got to meet the need all the time. You know, even if you have to go to God, which you should be doing all the time, go to God and say, Lord, help me meet the need. Okay? Help me, teach me how to talk to my wife. All right? Teach me how to talk to my husband. You know, teach me how to please him. Teach me how to please her. You know, teach me how to go to you. God, be my hero. That's all you're really asking, for God to be your hero in this situation. So even though you could turn down the heat of your frying pan, you could get out of the frying pan, you know, and get on your feet.
That's right.
And stand up for what God has set up in your marriage, man, and put your marriage up like a banner, okay, that people could look at and say, man, that's a marriage right there.
Right. And listen, right. And when Coach Eric said, you know, you have to confront the confrontation, that don't mean confront the confrontation and be confrontational
or violent, yes.
or aggressive or violent, right. And like Coach Eric just said, that's not what we're saying. What we're saying is when you confront it with love,
right.
Confront it being patient, confront it with compassion, you know, confront it where you're not trying to hurt the individual or get back at them,
right.
You know, no, I'm going to confront the issue so the issue don't be able to continue on, yeah. So the enemy won't be able to have that thing to make you stay divided amongst each other. You know what he means? Don't go in all angry and mad, and no, go in with compassion. Go in with thinking about, you know, what if the person didn't mean to say it like that?
Right.
You know, what if they just didn't say it right and it came out wrong? You got to give a person the benefit of the doubt. And then also, you got to accept that person's apology when they apologize. You know, you didn't say it the way I wanted you to say it. No, if that person come and apologize, receive that apology, hug, kiss, pray on it. Come on now, and then just let's go on. Let's go get some popcorn, take a walk in the park, make a cup of coffee, sit down and put a movie in. Come on. It's really not that deep. We make it deeper than it has to be.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said about the fire, you know, we want to listen to me. Don't be the type of person. If you got somebody that like confusion and drama and all that all the time, okay, come on, we got to stop with all of that, the drama. Every time something got to be drama, the playing games and back and forth, that's not maturity, and that really is a cowardly behavior, you know. So we don't want that, you know. Learn how to listen to one another. I'm telling you, this is something we had to learn to do. And as Christians, God will let you know you wrong. You said that wrong. Spirit of God will check you in a minute. You know, that was wrong. Get that straight. You know, go back and apologize. You know, and don't go back and apologize and be all nasty. Apologize and mean it sincerely. So I'm just so grateful for what God is doing, what he has done, who he is. You know, because I realize and I understand in my marriage in these years, and I mean, me and Coach Eric and myself, we have gone through some really trying things, some things that most people that have been married for 30 years will go through. You know, we haven't been married 30 years. And every time it's been challenges, and even when the challenges come, we learn to deal with situations together, not point the finger and blame each other. You know, I learned as a wife to let and allow him to lead. And if he makes mistakes, I have to be there to support him. I can't knock him down and be, well, you did that wrong. You should have did it this. You know, no, I'm your wife. I'm with you, babe. Listen, all right, we can't do it like that. That didn't work. All right. So now we got to do it another way. Why? Because God is teaching them how to be the man over his household, with listening to God, with the promises that God has for the household. That is not an easy job. Okay. For anybody that preach the gospel, it ain't easy standing up giving a message. So can you imagine God has placed something on someone that they have a message every day, and the message is to lead your family, bring your family to this place in me. You know, and it's not easy if you got everybody in the household trying to bulk up against what God has given the man of God to do. So I encourage you today, women, I love you, I love you, I love you. Please seek God, lay on your face, cry out for your family, stand in the gap for your family. And so for that, look, we are encouraged. I thank God that even through these segments, God is still dealing with me and making me a better wife. God is making me who God is designing me to be for my husband. And I'm encouraged by that. You know, I am truly encouraged by that. You know, and I'm learning to embrace our ups and downs and embrace the different confrontations and things that we go through. You know, so I am excited. I'm excited. And we're going to listen. We got to get ready to roll out because we are done. We are really, really done. But look, we're so thankful that you guys joined us. The Marriage Playbook Season 5, Game 6. Look, email us at themarriageplaybook@gmail.com. Call her 646-668-8485. Don't forget www.blogtalkradiopjcmedia. Also, don't forget PJC Media has some phenomenal, phenomenal shows. Our family, that we are our co-laborers in this whole thing together with the PJC Media. We want you guys to go on Sundays, Dovetails with Deborah. That's at 2:30 p.m. I'm telling you, you need to check out that show. Phenomenal woman of God. And that is on Sundays at 2:30. On Tuesday, you have the Parker J. Cole Show, and that is Tuesdays at 7 p.m. On Friday, you have Jenny White at 8 o'clock p.m. And then on Saturday, you have the Parker J. Cole Show, and that's at 2 p.m. Don't forget the Marriage Playbook on Mondays at 7 p.m. And again, we're so honored to be here, but look, we're out. We got to go. Our time is up, and we see you guys on next week. Coach Eric?
All right, y'all. Y'all have a good week of practice. We'll see you next week.
Well, folks, that's all the time we have left in this game.
Yeah, but the season is not over. We got more games to play.
Well, we thank you for spending your Monday evening here with us at the Marriage Playbook.
We hope we've encouraged you with some strategies that will give your marriage the win.
All right, so let's have a good week of practice, and we'll see you at game time next week on the Marriage Playbook.